Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line, Craig Smith, Senior Manager of World Wild Fund, South Africa Marine Programming. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and good morning, listeners. I am well. Thanks for asking.
Cool. So, well, not cool, because that's what we're talking about, is the temperatures of the water. We hear a lot about it, and for most of us, or some of us that are particularly uneducated in this way, rising sea temperatures is just something we're hearing about, but it doesn't really have any meaning. What is the concern?
Yeah, no, that is a massive concern with regards to climate change, mm-hmm. and I think the important thing to note is climate change isn't a myth. It's something that is happening as we speak. The Earth's temperature is warming up, mm-hmm. and consequently, the oceans are warming. Already over the last century, the oceans have the water sea surface temperature has risen on average by 1 degree Celsius, which is massive for oceans. And it has all sorts of knock-on.
It's so interesting because 1 degree, well, it sounds like nothing. You know, we go down to swim and maybe you'll look at the temperature and it's whatever it is, 19, 18, 17. It really, you wouldn't think that 1 degree would make any difference.
True. But when we're talking about water that conducts a lot more thermal energy than air, 27 times that of air actually, mm-hmm. 1 degree Celsius is a huge amount. And to put it in perspective, over the last 3 decades, the Earth has lost almost 50% of its corals due to those rising water temperatures. Almost 50%. And by the end of the century, at the turn of this century, we expect that 90% of the world's corals will be lost.
Just unbelievable. And then, of course, has a knock-on effect. So what happens if we lose our corals?
So corals is one of the most mega biodiverse areas in the oceans. And with these bleaching events, we lose out on biodiversity. So the whole ecosystem suffers as a result of corals bleaching, which reduces biodiversity, which then reduces the health of ecosystems. And then all the people that depend on those ecosystems for jobs, for food, suffers as well as a consequence.
Mm. And what are we seeing here in the seas of South Africa? What have we noticed happening over the last while?
Yeah, so, okay, we're not in the tropical area. Mm-hmm. So climate change has a very different impact in terms of the South African context. What we are seeing, which is kind of counterintuitive, is we're seeing that the west coast and the south coast of South Africa is actually starting to cool down. The water temperatures, as opposed to warming up, they're cooling down. And that's because with climate change, the weather patterns are changed. So our southeasterlies has become more prominent. They blow for longer periods of time. They blow harder, creating more sustained upwelling events on our west coast. So as a result, we're seeing a cooling effect, which is counterintuitive when you think about climate change on our west coast, south coast. And we are seeing a warming effect on our east coast in terms of the Gallus current coming down that is warming. And that is starting to manifest itself in all sorts of ways. We are seeing the movements of fish species, our cool temperate water species, moving from west to east. And examples of those would be west coast rock lobster, kelp, which is not a fish, but it's a plant, algae, that's increasing its distribution eastwards. We have sardine and anchovy that is also moving from its traditional range on the west coast, moving south and eastwards. And we also have huge range expansions of tropical species now coming down and found further south than ever before. So with that, that has major consequences. If fishes are moving out of their normal distribution patterns, that means it makes it harder for fisheries to locate and to fish their resources, and particularly small-scale fisheries, which are very limited in terms of their mobility. If those fish species are no longer available in their vicinity, they are the biggest losers and the most vulnerable groups in terms of the impacts of climate change. So that is something to note as well. And with the warming of the oceans, it's not just the issue of fish moving and fish distribution patterns changing, it's also that the ocean stores up a lot more energy, and which fuels tropical cyclones, and these become more prevalent, more severe, more frequent, and that poses a major problem for coastal areas, particularly low-lying coastal areas. And in South Africa, we have a number of those low-lying coastal areas which could become vulnerable as climate change starts to bite.
One of our listeners saying that I suggest that people read David Attenborough's latest book on global warming. It's called Life on Our Planet, Great Intro to Climate Change. Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it, but certainly David Attenborough, in terms of what the documentaries are all well researched, all very good read, very good to watch it in terms of his documentaries. So definitely a must. Yeah.
When we've been covering stories, for example, within the False Bay area, that many of our sharks, our shark population is down. Does that have anything to do with global warming and temperature changes, or is that just some kind of a natural event that happens from time to time? I guess my question is, how do we distinguish when we see something happening? How do we know what falls into what category and why it's happening?
Yeah, no, that's it's been a conundrum for scientists in terms of explaining some of the observations in False Bay. I mean, particularly when you mentioned the issue of sharks, the disappearance of great white sharks in False Bay, that has scientists stumped. Well, we also have seen basically orcas in False Bay, which is it's unusual. Unheard of. Typically, they were found a lot further offshore, but not in False Bay itself. We also have some peculiar observations as well in terms of snook, which is the mainstay of the lion fishery. And there used to be regular fish runs of snook in False Bay. That hasn't happened for almost a decade now. So there are certainly things that are changing in the environment. So snook is not a resource that is overexploited. They're still very, very abundant, but they're just not occurring in the areas that they were previously. Now, whether this is as a result of climate change only, that is the big question. Some of these things may be attributed to climate change, but also things could be attributed to the way in which man has interacted with the oceans directly, whether it be through fishing and fishing causing knock-on effects in terms of removing certain species out of the ecosystem or reducing it to unsafe levels, which also has a knock-on effect in terms of that ecosystem.
One of our listeners, they're not very kind to me, you should know. One of our listeners says, Howard, after hearing your interview, your pin-up girl should be Greta Thunberg. No, I don't need to have Greta Thunberg as my pin-up girl. We can have real conversations and learn about the stuff without some of the sobbing. So, yes, I do apologize, Craig, for some of the behavior of our listeners. They aren't particularly well behaved, especially early in the morning. What can we do about this? I mean, because it sometimes seems so overwhelming when we're hearing about climate change and oceans warming. And here we are sitting in Johannesburg. Is there a role that we can play?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a role that everybody can play in terms of lowering our carbon emissions. And I can start from the top in terms of government. Government mm-hmm. has made certain commitments in terms of its intended national determined contributions in terms of the Paris Agreement, where it's intending to cut down its carbon emissions by a minimum of 65% by 2030. So we need to ensure as citizens of this country that our government adheres to that we are following a plan, that plan is transparent, that we will be cutting down our carbon emissions. And it's a challenging one because South Africa is a developing country. It has developmental aspirations. And you all know the saga and the pain that we suffer when it comes to load shedding and that we don't have sufficient electricity. Yet the future should be moving towards renewable energy, looking at solar, looking at wind, which is becoming a lot less expensive than coal-powered power plants. So that is something that, that we as citizens, we need to pressurize our government, that we need to move towards cleaner, renewable energy. In terms of our own lifestyles, we can also make good choices that will also cut down carbon emissions. So, for example, when we procure goods, when we procure food, do we ever think about where that, where those goods come from, where does that food originate? And the idea is buy local. Local is liquor, because with buying local products,
you haven't paid for the because you haven't, because of the transport and the pollution around
that.
So
you reduce the carbon footprint by buying and procuring local goods and food. And even just the way in which we drive on our roads is a way in which we can cut down carbon emissions. I mean, we may not have electric vehicles. Those are pretty expensive. But if we keep a light foot on the accelerator pedal, that will also do a job of reducing our carbon emissions.
Jenny asking, how do we find out what our carbon emissions are?
So we would know that in terms of, so I don't have those figures offhand, but that should be available, because that informs what percentage of carbon emissions we need to cut back, and then also in terms of monitoring how successful we are as a country. But the important thing to note that on this continent, South Africa is the primary culprit for carbon emissions on the whole continent.
That's not something we want to be known for. And Renee asking, what happened to the hole in the ozone?
So the hole in the ozone, as far as I understand, that the ozone has repaired to a great extent, and that is mainly due to a ban on CFCs. That has happened a few decades ago. So that has been maybe heralded as a success story.
But I was just going to say, isn't that a great story? Because doesn't that show that if we do something active, we can sort this out?
Correct. If we act quick enough, if we act, we can avoid the long-term pain. That is certainly approaching as we look at various scientific records in terms of how the Earth is definitely warming up, and we need to curtail that. We need to cut that warming down, the rate at which it's warming.
Absolutely fascinating. Craig Smith, Senior Manager of World Wild Fund, a South Africa Marine Program. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Very, very interesting.